Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing well. It's day two of Tornado Charlotte. My hot sister-in-law has been in town all week, and we've been eating well right after the show. I think I'm going to take her to that Mexican place we went to the other day, and I think I can even get a margarita because we don't have a meeting until like 2:30, right?
Afternoon margarita?
Well, no, I'm going to have like an 11:30 margarita.
It's morning.
If
so
I eat
better enough
fish tacos, I'm thinking, you know, I can make it.
All right.
So, yeah, it's been a fun week, though. It's great to have family in town, and it was fun to show off the green room yesterday. I got to show that to her, and I showed her the studio. So I'm having fun and enjoying having family in town, with the exception of my wife. You know, somebody's got to bring in the money, right?
That's so right.
She's out in Houston enjoying it.
Did you take Charlotte downtown to the 200?
No, but I have before. So she's seen the big fancy Business Radio X sign right there on 200 Peachtree. So she's all very impressed.
Cool.
Right up until she comes to my house and sees the condemned deck out back. Right. And she's like, what do you do with all the money, right?
Less impressed.
So what do we got lined up, man? We got a lot of good folks today, right?
That's right. And we're going to kick it off with Chris Henley, and he is with the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau. Welcome, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you guys do for folks and how you help Atlanta? I mean, you've been around for quite some time.
Yeah, we're actually celebrating our 100th anniversary this year. The ACVB actually established in 1913, so next year will be our 100th anniversary. And ACVB is basically a liaison between meeting planners, tour operators, and our 1,200 members. And the Bureau, we really work as a marketing arm to bring more people to Atlanta, either through conventions or through tourism. And, you know, typically we have 37 million visitors to Atlanta every year.
Now, it's hard for me, living here. I've lived here since the mid-'80s. I never think of Atlanta as kind of a touristy town. I'm from Florida, and but I've been to, like, the World of Coke, and I've been to the stuff tourists go to, and it kind of surprises me that there's so many people there. Like, where does Atlanta rank in terms of tourism?
Well, actually, we're in the top 10. We have about the fourth or fifth largest convention center in the United States. Uh-huh. So the Georgia World Congress Center is, if you've ever been in it, it's pretty easy to get turned around.
Right, it's huge.
It's huge, and they host, you know, amazing events, and they do a top-notch job. So, you know, with the Atlanta having the world's busiest airport, you know, everybody can get to Atlanta pretty easily. So it makes it, you know, being that we live here, it makes it pretty interesting to realize that, you know, we are part of America's tourism.
Now, as a tourist destination, do you think it's driven from business and it's the families of the business people who are visiting for conventions, or are people like coming here as a vacation destination?
Well, we found that an international travel here in Atlanta is really picked up, and people come to Atlanta a lot, especially from overseas. The main thing they want to see is history. So when they come to Atlanta, you know, the Margaret Mitchell House, Civil War, the Civil Rights, I mean, you name it, Atlanta has a lot of history. And you throw in all our sporting teams and things like that, it makes it a great spot.
You guys have such a fantastic reputation here locally. So I can see you're so well-regarded, well-respected, but how do you accomplish that in a city? Because you got to do good marketing in other cities, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're already here.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And I'm relatively new to the ACVB. I've been here 4 months, and in this 4 months, I can tell you, we have between 80 and 90 employees, and they are all laser-focused on bringing more people to Atlanta. And that you know, that's been the most impressive thing since I've been here, that they, you know, they know what they're doing. They're well-respected in the industry throughout the United States. And, you know, they just basically just get people here and make Atlanta, you know, a destination for conventions and different tourists. And, you know, like you said, the World of Coke, you've got the world's largest aquarium. It's pretty easy sell.
Now, part of your job, I would imagine, is selling local people to be vendors or sponsors of the Convention Bureau, right?
Right. Now, membership, I'm actually the director of membership.
But that's like a totally different kind of arm of this.
It is. It is. You know, we have a lot of moving parts over at the ACVB, and, you know, between, you know, conventions and visitors and then, you know, sporting events and, you know, Labor Day alone in Atlanta. If you try to come downtown Atlanta, you'll see the ACVB at work. But one of the things that makes Atlanta such a great place is our members. And making it a destination. We have over 1,200 members, and it ranges everywhere from, you know, hotels to restaurants to PR firms. The attractions, like we mentioned earlier, the aquarium, as well as the World of Coke, and then sports teams. But, you know, also inside of that, you've got caterers, you've got family reunions, which is
probably meeting planners, right?
Meeting planners. I mean, you don't realize how many people come to Atlanta for family reunions, primarily because it's just an easy place to get to. You know, they say 80% of the U.S. population is within a 2-hour flight from Atlanta.
Now, we're in the process, as I understand it, of becoming members, and we are because Lee's the CEO, and Lee said we're going to be members of this organization, and we all trust Lee's guidance, and he's the boss. But let's a real-world case study here. Local Business Talk Network, what is it that we can expect to gain from being involved with ACVB over the course of a year? Are there events?
To make it fair for you, what we do, the reason we want to join is because we have a mobile unit that we can take radio to trade shows and conferences. Aaron could tell you about that.
So we get tapped into that world.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we can show up at places. That's why we want to join. That's our from our business, that's what we're thinking of as the business case for joining, is to so that more people can hire us to do those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense from a standpoint of getting involved with us because, you know, when the major conventions come to Atlanta, they come through the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau, and we have a trade show sales team that goes after everything from, you know, the MGX, you know, the super secret, you know, convention that's coming to town that's mm-hmm. probably not the best kept secret in the world. But then we also have, you know, other size conventions that come in from, you know, we had a urology where people came from all over the U.S., but they come through us to help them set up with, you know, hotels and restaurants, and our trade show sales team goes after that. But once we've got that secure, it works through our convention services. And those guys are the ones who do a lot of the heavy lifting with the meeting planners and what they need and making suggestions. And, you know, a lot of times these convention planners won't even realize, okay, we do need catering. We do need transportation. And you know what? We've got a group that can help give exposure to your convention. And what we had to have a mobile radio show like what you guys have. And so putting you guys in front of those.
So that would be a benefit. So if we join as a member, then how do we have access to that? Is that something we're on a list now with lots of other vendors, or how does that work?
Right. Well, what we have is, we, you know, first thing I'd want to do is get you in, Lee, and introduce you to Cookie Smoke, who handles our convention services team.
And I got to meet this person just for the name alone.
She,
I thought I had a unique name.
She's a fireball. She loves what she's doing. She's very passionate about what she does. And we had one of these meetings yesterday with a transportation company, and you know, you sit down and start talking to her, she'll have ideas that you haven't even thought of, like, hey, let's get you in front of these guys, or you need to talk to these folks. And, you know, out of 1,200 members, it gives you a lot of different avenues.
Right.
And chances, you know, it's sort of like a gym membership. You're going to get out of what you put into
sure.
it.
Sure.
So from the standpoint of, you know, you can have a gym membership and drive by the gym every day and go, God, why am I not losing weight, or why am I not getting in better shape?
Because I'm paying a lot of money for this.
Every month they hit my card.
Exactly. So we want to actually get you engaged. We want to get you sit down and build relationships. And that's really what we're in. We're in the relationship business.
You're not going to do an extensive background check on all our staff members, are you? If Lee passes the test, can we come in? And if the check clears?
Well, I think there's a 3 margarita limit or something in that way somewhere.
Now, how did you get into, how did you get involved with the ACVB?
I actually, when I first came to Atlanta, I went to work with Phillips Arena and got to know some of the people with the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau, and, you know, really thought they were a great organization and professional and so connected with everything that went on in Atlanta. I thought, you know, these are guys that, you know, eventually I'd like to work with. And after Phillips Arena, I ended up at the arena at Gwinnett Center, worked there for about 7 years, and most recently I was the general manager of the Georgia Force Arena football team, and then the ACVB had an opportunity and just kind of got to talking with those guys, and lo and behold, I'm director of membership.
So what was that like, Arena Football League?
It's a whole other ball game, let me tell you. It's I will tell you this, working with those guys and working with you know, different concerts and entertainers and being in the sports and entertainment business, the guys who play arena football play it because they love it, because they really are not
right.
getting paid much at all to play. I mean, they're getting paid $400 a week, and we're housing them and giving them a little bit of food. So great guys. They play for the passion of the game, and some really good athletes.
It's was the marketing for that like kind of like minor league baseball kind of marketing?
If that, I mean, marketing is one of those things that it's you've got to base it on your ticket sales and looking at overall and trying to make that investment. In the first year out, we invested a fair amount of money into that, but then the next year you're hoping word of mouth and people coming out and having a good time. And, you know, and sports teams are part of what we do with the ACVB too. We try to, you know, be involved with the Atlanta Braves, the Falcons, the Hawks, the Atlanta Dream. All those guys are members of the ACVB and attend a lot of our events. And so, you know, people who are looking to try to get build relationships with teams, this is an easy way to build that relationship is coming through the ACVB and being a member.
The show that was on before this show, the guy talking actually was the CEO of the Atlanta Dream. He's also a host here for us.
Oh, they're good guys. I actually, probably my first month here working with some of the folks down there, they asked me to come help them out on their media day because they just needed extra bodies, and being that they were members, you know, we go out and try to help people any way we can.
Yeah.
And the former owner of that team, what a fantastic lady she is.
Kathy Betty.
I don't know who the current owner is, but you probably do. But, I mean, just what a marvel. She was so gracious. Remember when we had the intern on the radio, and then she set up the day to come visit? That, just some good people over there.
Yeah, their whole staff are good folks. And you know, it's, I know she's not involved that much anymore, but everything I had talked to with them about, everybody raved about how good she was. And she was one of the type of people, you know, I kind of like pride myself on too, is you get in there and roll your sleeves up, and she would help put the decals on the floor and all that type
whatever
of stuff. She was involved.
Yeah. So what impact, if any, does local politics have on your world? Are you working those rooms too and building relationships, or is it just not that important? Or?
Well, I mean, politics and what we do, we're private. We're not, you know, we're not-for-profit. So we're so focused on trying to bring in more conventions and people to Atlanta. We, you know, from our end, of getting involved with politics,
we really don't.
Yeah, and
good for you.
Luckily from my side, you know, we have such a good reputation, have done, you know, been successful in what we do. We keep on keeping on.
Now, is there any groups out there that are listening that you think are kind of need to really consider being members? Like a lot of the marketing firms, is that something? Would you
certainly? I mean, marketing firms, anyone who wants to get more involved with businesses that are directly involved with hospitality in any way, shape, or form, from hotels to restaurants to you know, PR firms that want to, you know, share into this $11 billion hospitality industry that we're in. You know, there's one of the things that people do and don't realize that, you know, the tourism and convention and tourism. In Atlanta alone, there are 223,000 jobs that center on this. So
that's a huge number. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's a major player in Atlanta, and you don't really realize it until you get into it how vital it is to the city. So if you have, you know, a transportation company or a PR firm, or if you're in catering, if there's anything, if you think you can benefit from being involved with the conventioners and visitors to Atlanta, we can help you make those relationships.
Now, is there a convention like almost every day here somewhere at one of the locations around town?
More than one. Yeah, there's something going on all the time. Just this past weekend, or past week we had, or this week, America's Mart had 76,000 people in downtown Atlanta. I mean, that's filling up the dome.
76,000 people, that, and it's just happening. Like, and that happens on a regular basis, or that was just kind of a...
That's one of the bigger ones, but you're also going to have like the... Urology Association was in town. They had 10,000 people, and half of those were from overseas, you know, basically visitors from outside, the international visitors.
And there's stuff happening in at Cobb, right? The Cobb's got a place. Gwinnett's got a place.
Exactly. And then, you know, Labor Day weekend when it rolls around, you know, we don't have just one college football kickoff game. We now have two. So there's 140,000 people in 2 days. You know, they're coming here for the whole weekend.
Right.
Now, that sounds great, but then throw another 40 or 50,000 in with the DragonCon.
Oh, so that's at the same weekend?
Same weekend. Trying to get a hotel, and it's a great thing for our hoteliers and bringing it in. And, you know, that's revenue comes to the city.
Is that the one where they wear all the costumes? That's the one day a year that I like to remember. Maybe
to be down there.
It was crazy. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, you come down to downtown Atlanta on Labor Day weekend, you're going to see it moving and shaking for certain.
So if a business wanted to learn more, do you have a website?
Absolutely. Atlanta.net. It's pretty easy to remember. That's our primary website, or anybody want to contact me directly. It's chenley@atlanta.net. It's CHENDLEY, or you can call our main office and off the website.
And the information for businesses is at that top, at the header, right? That's it's kind of tricky to find because Atlanta.net is a kind of a touristy website.
Exactly.
So you've got to go to the very top of the website and right. the header, and you'll find the information.
Exactly.
Man, I sure hope we make the cut. I hope they let us in.
I don't know.
I don't know. The margarita thing got me going, so you're all right with me.
I'm in with the big guy. I got us in, Lee. I got us
all
in.
Right.
Hey, how about hanging out with us for a little bit while we visit with our next guest?
Oh, I'd love to.
Terrific. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we're welcoming a gentleman back to the Business Radio X mic in a little less chaotic environment. We first met this guy at the Sweetwater Brewing Company when we did TechCrunch on Monday evening on the July 9th, which was a lot of fun, but a little bit challenging on some of the technical side of things. But we had fun, and I mean, the guy just had so much insight, and we wanted to have him back and have a more in-depth interview, so please join me in welcoming, if you will, Mr. Aaron Zucker from Level Up. Welcome back, man.
Thanks for having me.
God, hear how clear his voice is
in
this environment?
Man, it's weird.
So give us a little insight on Level Up. What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Well, right now we're actually giving away money, as I told you about last Monday. A lot of people like to hear about that when it comes to free food especially. We are a Google-backed company that is allowing people to pay with their phones when they go out to eat. So essentially what you would do is you would download our app on your iPhone or Android, and our Windows Phone app is coming out at the end of July, so we're excited about that as well. And people will download the app into their phone. They'll put in their name and email. They'll link their credit card, which is a very safe thing to do. In fact, it's safer than swiping your credit card at a typical merchant. And then after that, you're good to go. You'll have a QR code that pops up on your phone, and you will hold that up when you want to pay at a restaurant. And it'll just zap through. It's quicker than getting change. It literally takes like 2.5 seconds. It's fascinating technology.
You had me at Google backed.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's why he's here. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you go about being Google backed?
Well, a lot of people like to hear that. You know, a lot of people, when they're like, hey, you want to, you know, put my credit card information in my phone so you guys can have it? Well, no, we actually don't hold on to it, and we're Google-backed. People like hearing that.
Right.
We just got another round of funding recently. Really excited about that. So we were in the New York Times last week on Wednesday and a bunch of other, you know, TechCrunch-type articles and websites online. I'd be happy to, I've been tweeting those links. Mm-hmm. If you guys out there want to follow us on Twitter, at Level Up Atlanta. So that's kind of what we're up to.
How is it different than Google Wallet?
It's a little different. Actually, it's funny. Google Wallet came out, and Level Up came out a little bit after, and Google saw what we were doing, and we're like, yeah, we don't know about Google Wallet. So they were like, we can't beat it, might as well join them. So they gave us millions of dollars to have fun with and go after it. It's different in the sense that we're really loyalty-based. So when customers go back to a merchant and pay over time, say I went to Lee's, you know, subs.
Deli.
Yeah, Lee's Deli.
Good.
Yeah, Lee's Deli, for instance, which is fictitional, so guys don't go out there and look for it. You know, you go in and, you know, you would basically, as a merchant, offer up an incentive for people to come back.
Right.
So if I spent $50 there, you would typically give a $5 credit, which influences people to come back. And in fact, we're actually bringing people to restaurants back 20% faster, and they're spending 7% more when they come in and pay with Level Up.
Is it different than the Starbucks card app?
It's different in the sense with Starbucks, you have to prepay.
Right.
And it only works at Starbucks.
Right.
So, and people do go other places.
The pastrami at Starbucks is just
not that good.
It's not the same.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't have to prepay. You spend on your credit card like you typically would.
So it just hits my credit card when I use it.
Yeah.
It's like
it processes it the same way. It's the exact same thing as using your credit card, except for one, it's safer, and two, you're saving money doing it. And it's cool that it's on your phone,
right,
and you can look like you're, you know, up with the technology game. Yeah.
So now I swipe it the same way that I do my Starbucks card, where they just...
No, you hold up your phone. I mean, literally, the merchant will take care of the rest. They'll come back with another phone, or you can hold it up to a dock that they have at the register, whatever
right.
they prefer to do, and it'll just zap through. I mean, the two phones or two devices are typically about 6 inches apart, and it's
so it requires the merchant to have another device.
Yes, we provide them with that.
Okay, you provide them with that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, are you looking for more merchants or looking for more users or
both? Yeah, it's a double-edged sword as we grow. You know, if we have millions of people out there using it, but there's nowhere to use it, that's a problem. And if there's a zillion merchants that accept it and nobody uses the app, then that doesn't help us either. So
right.
we have to grow simultaneously, and that's something we're continually working on. In the Atlanta area, we now have we're going to hit our 7,000 users either today or tomorrow. So we're excited about that, considering we've only been here since February.
Right.
And we have 215 merchants in Atlanta. However, this is the eighth office. So we were headquartered and, you know, founded in Boston a year ago this past Saturday. And we have 4,000 merchant partners across the country, and 200,000 people are using Level Up.
And merchants are embracing this? The restaurants and the, yeah, the shops are embracing mm-hmm. this? I would think so.
Right. So mm-hmm. what's your biggest challenge?
Our biggest challenge at this point is just kind of getting, you know, in Boston, everybody knows it. You know, it's been around for over a year. People right. have heard of it. Oh, yeah, that's cool. I heard about it somewhere. Yeah, I'll download it. Here, people are, you know, they're thrown off when I tell them about it. And that's why, you know, I'm very thankful that you guys are having me on today so more people can learn about what we're doing. A lot of people think that... you know, that we have access to their credit card information, which right. which I could see why, because you link your card to your phone. But what right. we do is we use Braintree, who also processes with Bank of America and Amex. So they're pretty legit. And what we do with them is what they do for us, is they turn the credit card information into that QR code. So we don't have access to it anymore, and neither does the merchant.
So this seems like it would have plenty of application for the way I dine, because I go in and get the $7 sandwich and the big Coke, and I'm out of there. But Lee, in his deep pockets, he goes to these big fancy you know, places, big fancy and he sits places. Down. The guy puts the napkin in your lap, and you got so many forks, you don't know which one to grab first. Can it be used in that environment?
Absolutely, yeah. We have sit-down restaurants. We will pretty much work with anybody who accepts money, especially especially in the restaurant game. That's kind of where we've you know, hit.
So you target restaurants first to kind yeah. of penetrate the market, and then you want to expand to other retail establishments?
Sure. Yeah. The game plan with that is, you know, everybody eats. So we figured we could start with everybody and work our way to the niche mm-hmm. markets. You know, I would say over 90%, especially in this market, are restaurants. Most of them are the quick places where you can go in and out and want to save money. And, you know, you just go in, get through the line quickly, pay with Level Up, get out, like you were referring to, Stone. And then with Lee, you know, when you're out, if you want to take Stone and I with you out to eat yeah. one night, you know, a place like a Hudson Grill in Midtown, which is one of our merchants, you can, you know, sit down and enjoy your meal. And, you know, if you're enough of the big baller that Stone's made you out to be, if you spend $120, you can save $10 that night. So that's, you know, we work with anybody who's paying.
Right. If I had your job and I was calling on restaurants, because you're actually walking in these restaurants and talking to them?
My colleagues are, yeah. My job is to essentially get more users.
I'd weigh 300 pounds if I had that job. Are they a little overweight?
Yeah. You know, you know, I got to tell you, going back to the gym membership that Chris was referring to, I've got to stay at it, because, you know, these merchants make such good food, especially the food trucks. We've got yeah. a lot of food truck partners, right. and, you know, they're not very health conscious. They make some good food, though. In fact, we were out there at Piedmont Park on Saturday with, you know, 30, 40 food trucks out there. And we actually, as of yesterday, are going to be the title sponsor of the Taste of the Trucks event going on in September, presented by Level Up Now.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're looking to have 10,000 people out there simultaneous with the Georgia Tech football game going on. So that'll be a really fun event. And I'm sure you guys will hear much more about it. You'll see some billboards on 85 and 75.
Now, did you meet the food truck park guy?
The food, yes.
Howard
right. Sue. Yeah, yeah. We have him as a merchant as well. He owns Sweet right. Auburn Barbecue. Right. Mm-hmm. And we have the physical restaurant and the food truck that he accepts.
So what is that conversation like? One of your folks walks into a restaurant. I mean, it sounds like it could be challenging at first, but if you could just get a few minutes and explain the program, I would think it would be very attractive. How's the conversation go?
Sure. So we actually have a Legion team in Boston that is basically inside sales. So they're working the phones all day, all across the country. Originally they were working only for our 8 satellite offices. Well, I should say 10 now. We just opened up our office in LA and DC last week, so we're excited about that. But our Legion team is currently working the phones to the different merchants, and what they'll do is they'll get into the office at 9 and they'll start calling the East Coast guys, and they'll just work their way out, and then by 7, 8 o'clock at night they're calling West Coast guys. We're very conscientious of not calling restaurants when they're going to be busy, because sure. that all that's going to do is frustrate an owner.
Right.
But once they, you know, like you said, once we get a minute or two on the phone, you know, that is pretty much a good sales point already, because they're into the idea of mobile payment apps, and they're into the idea of customers saving money. Basically what we're doing is we're changing the way people move money, right? So instead of, you know, you owning a restaurant and just, you know, taking in credit card processing fees, we're asking you to invest the same amount, but into your customers, as opposed to it just watching it go down the drain. So that's the main point. And our Legion team's setting up meetings for our sales team, and they're going out there and they're selling it, and it's a pretty easy sell.
Now, when the restaurant is working with you, what's it like for them? So now I'm a restaurant owner and I want to do this. So now how does that change how I do business? What has to change?
Sure. So what we would do is our implementation team, who we have two great specialists doing that in Atlanta, would come in for you and show you everything that you need to know They would come in, set up the technology for you.
Because I have a POS system already.
Yes.
Right now, is this going to play with it? Yes. I got to replace it?
No, you don't have to replace it. Right now, we're actually working on partnering with certain POS systems. Uh-huh. And I can imagine by this time next year when we're back on the radio together that we'll be partnered with all the POS systems out there. But no, you don't have to replace your POS system. We worked, you know, with them as far as getting you paid. We pay you 3 times a week. So you're not waiting for your money very often.
Right.
What we'll do, though, is our implementation team will come in, and they'll set you up with all the technology that you need. Make sure you know how to use it. It's pretty simple. We'll hook you up with that phone device, who T-Mobile has been nice enough to supply us with that stuff. And you'll turn on the phone, and all we'll do is we'll accept payment through Level Up, and the customer will scan in. It'll scan to your device. You'll type in the amount, and the tip percentage will automatically be included later.
Now, early in the conversation, you mentioned Twitter. Are you big on social media? Is that an important part of your marketing strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. The Twitter account, you know, like we've only been around Atlanta since February. So, you know, we're absolutely, you know, following the right people as far as, you know, following the bloggers and following, you know, the people that are retweeting us a lot and whatnot, which are the enthusiastic users, which there are plenty of. Like I said, though, you guys definitely should follow us, you know, for big events like the one coming up in September. We have plenty in between now and then, including a food truck park next Wednesday in the Virginia Highlands, which we'll be giving away some money for. So definitely come by and see us. We're at a Level Up Atlanta.
Cool. Awesome.
Now, there's a website too, right?
Yes, thelevelup.com. That's where our first commercial is. You guys can see how fun the app is and how easy it is to use. And then right below that, if you are interested in signing up and starting to save money like the other hundreds of thousand people doing it out there, I'd recommend doing that. Or you can just download the app on your phone and get going that way. It's a pretty simple thing to do.
Now, is this your first startup? Is this considered a startup?
Yeah. This is my first startup, but I am an entrepreneur as well. So
you've had your own business?
I do, yes, on the side. Yeah, I own a bar in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa, but it was not the one that is causing all the headlines. Which
do
we're
they
thankful
accept
for.
Level Up?
No, not yet. We're working on that. Yeah, I'm having a tough time getting the owner to agree to it.
Well, I am so glad that we had you back, man.
Yeah, I am too. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, and if not before, we got to get you back when you get ready to more aggressively promote the event you were talking about. Because we do a restaurant show on the radio. We'll have you on there probably, yeah.
Sure, awesome. That'd be great. You know, the event going on in September, which we, like I said, are very proud to become the title sponsor of for Taste of the Trucks, is going to be on 8th and Spring Street in Midtown, and it's going to be right around that Georgia Tech game. So get up there early, park, and just have fun eating and drinking all day. We'll be there from 12 to 10. And the food truck park next Wednesday in the Virginia Highlands on North Highland Avenue will be from 6 to 9.
Cool.
Excellent. Hey, how about hanging with us while we visit with our next
Absolutely.
Guest? Absolutely. So, you know, I pulled a little Louie on him there. I told him that we were going to interview in a little different order. So it's just to keep everybody on
That's
their
good.
Time.
Good.
So.
Thank you.
But everybody gets to play. And next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have a gentleman with EverSpark Interactive. He is the grand poobah. He's the boss. He's the CEO. Mr. Jason Hennessy, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you guys for having me this morning.
Well, we are delighted to have you. The watch is distracting. That's like a really big, beautiful. The reason is I lost my watch like 3 years ago.
Okay.
And then, of course, I got more involved with the smartphone and all that. And then I got a watch for Father's Day. And I walked around, you know, like the Hunchback of Notre Dame for a couple of months till I got equalized. But no, you must really enjoy
nice. You know what? It's funny. It's for show, but like everybody else in this room.
It's right twice a day.
I mean, we all use our mobile phones for watches these days, right?
Right. So tell us about EverSpark, man.
So EverSpark Interactive is an agency. It's a search marketing agency that we founded about 3 years ago. And like Aaron, you know, where you have to go out and you have to meet these small businesses, restaurants, but I think technology just becomes so overwhelming for them that it makes it a challenge for companies like us to try to really teach them and coach them in the fact that they have to market their business. Because when people start getting into entrepreneurship and opening up businesses, one thing that they don't recognize is they've got to actually market their business too. And that's kind of where we come in and we help out.
So this business didn't exist just a few years ago, though,
it
right?
It didn't. It's funny.
You had a real job before all this.
I did. I came from Las Vegas and to Chris's world.
Why are you
Chris's
pointing
world.
To Chris?
What happens in Vegas? Yeah.
Well, it's funny because in Vegas, I was a radio personality out there. It wasn't a talk show. It was more radio, 80s format. But it's funny because when you're a radio personality, you kind of get invited to all these different events
and
things.
Cool.
And it is kind of cool. You guys got all the great fringe benefits of being in radio, but one of the most, fabulous kind of event that I went to was it was a conference where they mix the AVN. Do you know what AVN stands for?
Adult video. With the consumer electronics.
With the consumer. So you've been there. There you go. Yeah.
No comment.
You've got porn stars and computer geeks walking around in the same room. So it's kind of fascinating. So
that's his highlight of his convention career.
That's the highlight.
The answer to my question is you've never had a real job.
I've never had a real job. I'm just having fun.
I'm still trying to figure out why he was pointing at me.
Maybe you look familiar. So, Jason, what's your challenge of getting, you know, SEO is kind of one of these dark arts, you know, for a lot of people. There's
it is.
Why are you laughing? You know, is that not true?
I just wasn't going to say that on the air with the SEO guy. That's something
he's a legitimate SEO guy. There's a lot of people out there that promise you number one in Google. You know, I get emails like that every day.
Yeah, yeah, and I do too. But it's funny because you do. I mean, you have so many options with SEO. You get emails every day. They come from third world countries, and you might respond to it. And I think the reason why SEO has such a bad stigma is because people try those options out. And obviously, when you pay $100 to try to get number one for a keyword that might be somewhat competitive, you're going to be failed. You're going to be let down, right?
Right. Or you're number one for 10 seconds at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, one day, and they grab a screenshot, and then they go, here, pay me again.
So, you know, and in most cases, it's you know, a lot of small businesses don't recognize this, but they can do this themselves. You know, I'm not here to try to really rake in all kinds of business from being on the show. I just more about teaching and educating and being transparent with businesses to just take action and start to do SEO themselves. Google's all about two things, right? So Google's about relevance and popularity. That's the whole Google algorithm in a nutshell. So if you have a page that is relevant, it has unique content about your subject matter, right? Google is going to index your page, and it's going to index 100 other thousand pages that are about the same subject, right? The only way that Google is able to dictate and recognize that your page should rank above other pages is the popularity of that page. It's the same reason why if you type in click here on Google, the first website that shows up is the Adobe Acrobat Reader page, right? And the reason is because whenever you have a PDF on your website and you want somebody to download it, if they don't have Adobe, they can't read it. So therefore, it says click here, and it links back to the Adobe page. So all of these millions of web pages that are linking back to Adobe are basically voting for that site, and therefore Google sees that, and that's why it ranks at number one.
So now what can a company do to rank higher? Like some words
that could be relevant.
Well, it's a throw money at it situation. Can you pay enough to be ranked high enough, or is it something that you can do it just through your own labor of posting lots of things and linking and writing and all that?
You know, I've even had to turn down clients. I mean, even with a blank check, in some cases, you're not going to be able to rank number one for certain keywords. And that's just honest. But I think, you know, most small businesses that are listening to this show, you want to create compelling content on your website. You want to be an authority figure in your subject. And once you're an authority and you start to engage with things like Twitter and social media and Facebook, and you start to engage and be active in your niche and your vertical, well, that's going to get people to link back to your website. And that's what you're trying to do. You're just trying to make your site just more popular than your competitor's website.
Now, what about keywords? To me, that's kind of really the secret to all of this. You got to really choose wisely when it comes to keywords. Like, say we do a show yesterday on real estate. So if we have a real estate agent and they want to be number one on real estate, they can't just put in their keywords, can't be real estate Atlanta or Atlanta real estate. You know, that's too competitive. You know?
That's right.
So they got to be like, you know, first time home buyer, divorced, real estate. You know, like they got to really kind of get super narrow, and
that's right.
And then they can be number one maybe in that category.
That's right. And most people don't recognize is that there are free tools that are very easy to use out there on the web. Google provides one of the best keyword research tools. And if you just go to Google and you type in keyword, the first site that shows up is the Google pay-per-click keyword tool. And it's very easy to use. All you do is you add a keyword in there that you think your consumers might be searching for you, right?
Right.
And then what's going to happen is Google's going to pre-populate this with maybe 500 different variations of the keywords that people will search to find you. And it'll even go as far as telling you how many people are searching for that keyword on the search engine. So you might have Atlanta real estate agent might be searched 330 times per month, or Atlanta foreclosure specialist might be searched 560 times per month, right? So you might want to focus in on just the foreclosure vertical, right, and not just real estate in general.
I hadn't thought about that. So like you and I, day to day, we may talk about doing business interviews, but the world out there might use the word business conversation or something more. And so we'd be better off incorporating that language in our stuff, right?
Absolutely. And it provides you with topics on what other pages of content that you should be writing and adding to your website. Exactly.
Is that a mistake that when people are dabbling in SEO that they make, is they use their keywords, the jargon that they use in their own business, instead of the words that they're clients use?
That's exactly right. A lot of times businesses like SEO, you can get lost in the vernacular of SEO, right? I mean, there's so many different terms. But the end user, you know, a lawyer that is trying to market his business doesn't know what latent semantic indexing means, right? You know, so you start getting caught up.
Lee doesn't know what it means.
So explain it to me.
You start getting caught up in the different terms and the different acronyms and things like that, you just need to dummy it down to what you think your users would be saying about you. Yes, exactly.
So what's some of the words you use?
Some of the words that we would use, so like, for example...
Free was good. I like that.
Free is always a good one.
That's a strong one.
We use like Atlanta, you know, marketing agency, Atlanta search marketing agency, Atlanta SEOs. People think just because you put expert in there, Atlanta SEO expert is a good term that people are looking for, things like that.
So probably as much, if not more so than anyone in this room, you really have to be on top of this idea of differentiation. Because you can't swing a dead cat at a family reunion without running into three SEO experts.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So is there something in your language or something in your web presence or something in the way that you...
Because you guys are growing pretty rapidly.
That is.
How do you set yourself apart?
The industry is growing very fast. But the good news is that Google continues to make it harder and harder and harder for us SEOs.
And for you, you think that's good because you're good at it.
I think that's very good because it weeds out the people that say they'll get you at the top of Google.
Why are you pointing at me?
Well, it weeds out the people that you talked about paying $100 to rank you number one. Yeah. It weeds those people out, and it just makes it more competitive. Which I think, if you're good at your craft, you can excel with the change. So we love it. We welcome it.
Now, do you have a success story that you are able and willing to share, or that you might typically share with someone who's really getting serious and having this kind of conversation?
Absolutely.
With you?
So when we first started our agency, one of the most competitive keywords in the world was one of the keywords that we were targeting, and it was online poker. Right, so one of our clients...
It's all circling back to Vegas every time.
It is.
This whole conversation.
Online poker is extremely competitive, and we were able to move our client from the number 6 position on Google to the number 1 position
six,
on Google.
Like on the 6th page? Or
no, meaning
six,
like...
First page,
no,
number
first
six.
Page, number 6. But to move them from like 6 to number 1 is a difference in, you know, millions and millions of dollars per year, right?
Wow.
So,
yeah.
I mean, hundreds of thousand dollars per day. So that was a task that we took and we achieved. And from there, that had opened up a lot more opportunity. And then the feds came in and kind of regulated that industry a little bit. But we still, you know, we do a lot of work with attorneys. We do a lot of work. Most small businesses really can't afford our services. That's why we create ways to educate small businesses so that they could do it themselves. But we work with some mid to large businesses. Yes.
Now, how much in sales are your typical clients?
So our clients average in, I'd say anywhere from like $3,000 per month to engage us all the way up to $100,000 per month.
Okay, so you're dealing with larger like law firms and things like that?
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. So how would you go about shopping for, what are the kind of the questions that you might ask a potential SEO company to make sure that they are, you know, one of somebody that can really do the job? Because that's not something you shop for every day, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're out there and you're maybe interviewing an SEO company, I would definitely recommend that you ask them, can you please give me a name and a phone number of another small business that you have done this before? Right. And from there, you'll really get to understand, has it had the effect on their business? Because the reason why you hire an SEO is so that you can get more customers. Right. So, I mean, if this person says, hey, I got this site number one for this keyword. Well, if that's not actually doing anything to the bottom line of this business, right, it's useless. So therefore, I'd recommend that you get maybe five different names of their current clients, call them up and really understand how this business works.
That'll thin the herd. Hurry, probably.
Just I would think so.
That right there.
Yeah.
And we think for younger people coming mm-hmm. through the ranks, is should they target this as a career or a part of their skill set that they should develop this SEO?
So that's another reason. That's another barrier to entry in our market is they don't really teach this in college. They don't. I mean, I've got friends that are going to school for advertising right now, and SEO is just a like you said, it's a negative word, right? Because by the time they print, publish, and start to lecture on that subject, Google makes six changes to the algorithm, and it's not even
right. You're starting
anymore,
again, right?
So I would recommend you, if you really want to start to learn this, because it is going to have a dramatic effect on your business. Google's not going anywhere, right? They're investing millions of dollars, right? So I would recommend that you start to study it. There's great resources. SEObook.com is a site that I use a lot that talks about educating about SEO. SEO Moz is another great resource. Even our site, everspark interactive.com, we blog on a regular basis, and we educate the market as well.
Fantastic. So those are the coordinates, Everspark?
everspark interactive.com. yep. You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Hennessy, Hennessey.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, man.
Thank you, Stone, and thank you, Lee. I appreciate you guys having me this morning.
I feel so much more informed, Lee, because, I mean, we didn't know anything to begin with, so it was kind of an easy path.
Exactly.
But I think...
Now we know more. Now we have somebody to call.
Right. Or if someone else is talking to us, we can say, well, Jason said.
Exactly.
Right? That's how my kids operate. So-and-so said.
It must be true.
Well, I think we've got our cleanup hitter. We're in the home stretch here.
That's right.
And we got a guy that knows what to do with the money once you make it, which is what the other folks trying to help us make it, right?
Exactly. This is really the most important guy.
That's right. And dedicated to providing financial peace of mind, we have with us Mr. Micah Porter with Minerva Planning Group. Welcome to the show, man.
Well, thanks very much, Don. I appreciate it.
Well, and you're so polite, and you waited your turn, and you were nodding, and you were very encouraging. You know, a lot of times when there are people starting to cheap seats like that, you know, they get a little bored, they make faces at the other guest. You have a lot of social skills, I guess I should say.
What I've got is a wife who's 9 months pregnant.
Ah.
So,
so you're ever vigilant. Like
very supportive.
I don't, y'all keep looking at the door, and she's here.
She is.
That is your
my wife, not the child. That
that was an assumption. I could have been a girlfriend.
Yes, the wife is here. Thank you.
Well,
I missed that one.
We are glad to have you both. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to and what's going on in your world, man.
Sure. Well, as you said, Stone, I'm the CEO of Minerva Planning Group. We're a fee-only financial planning firm that's been serving the Atlanta market, as well as folks throughout Georgia and the U.S. for 23 years. We work with individuals that have achieved substantial success by mid-career and want to take that success and translate it into a secure financial future. And we also work with those that are at or in retirement that want to know that they have got a steady stream of income that's going to support them for the rest of their lives.
Is there such a thing as a secure financial future?
Well, you know, after the last 4 years, that's an awfully good question. It's been a challenging time. But honestly, if you followed some real simple principles with regards to investing over the last 4 or 5 years, you may not be where someone would have been that had done the same thing in the early 90s, but you should still have a secure financial future.
That whole buy low, sell high thing, does that still work?
Or is that like eat right and exercise, you know, one of those myths that people talk about?
No, the buy low and sell high, it works, but it's been more common to run into buy high and sell just a little bit lower lately.
So you mentioned fee only. Why fee only? Because that's not the only option, right? Some people do it different.
No, absolutely. There are a number of different models in the financial planning industry. What fee only means is We accept no referral fees, and we sell no commissionable products. The only money we make is that our clients pay us, so everything is fully disclosed. Most folks in the industry actually work on a fee and commission basis. They may work on an hourly basis and charge on an hourly rate, but they're gonna sell you an annuity, or they're going to sell mutual funds and earn a commission from those.
So now, how does that work in terms of if you do suggest I buy mutual funds, isn't there a commission built in? Does that?
No, actually, there are what are called no-load mutual funds, and no-load means no commission, and that's the type of funds that we work with. We do not sell any funds with a load.
And doesn't that maybe free you up to be more focused on doing what's going to be right for my financial plan as opposed to being captive to a certain product?
It helps avoid conflicts of interest. Now, it's not to say that folks that are working on a fee and commission basis aren't doing a good job for their clients. There are plenty that do.
Right.
But we personally feel more comfortable with the model that says, you know what, you are our client, you're the ones that pay us, and you are the only ones that pay us.
And what kind of investment typically in a fee-only situation are you making? Like if you've got a portfolio, is it usually based on a percentage? Is it a flat fee, or it just depends on the network?
It's based on what's called assets under management. So if you've got a $500,000 portfolio, we charge 1%, you're going to pay $5,000 per year. But with that fee, you get not just investment advice, but you also get advanced planning. So we're going to take a look at your insurance situation. We'll look at your estate planning to make sure that that's taken care of. We'll look at taxes to make sure that those are minimized. What we want to do is look at your entire financial picture and make sure that you've got a plan that works, but also that there are no risks to the plan that are not identified. And lastly, we want to make sure you're not paying any more than you need to for anything, from taxes to insurance to what you pay for your investments.
So now you become part of my kind of trusted advisor team. Like, are you working with my accountant? Are you working with my lawyer?
Exactly. We sit in the middle of those trusted advisors. We're the quarterback, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So I meet with you, and then you talk to my lawyer or my accountant, and you say, you know what, this is the way that we would like this structured, or this is how his investments are structured, so be careful when you're doing this distribution or something.
Exactly. We'll find out what's important to you. As a matter of fact, as part of our process, we start with what's called a discovery meeting. And the discovery meeting is a meeting in which we go through your financial values, your financial goals. What are the most important relationships to you? Where do you want to be at age 65 or 75?
I want to have Lee's kind of money. That's what I want.
Well, that would be reflected in one of the answers to the discovery meeting. We would put
they
that,
actually use the word Lee's kind of money as part of his survey.
It would probably go just below the need to replace the deck for you. You know?
Right.
So.
So 23 years you've been doing this.
I haven't been doing it for 23 years, but the firm has been in existence for 23 years. I've been doing it for about a decade.
But a lot's probably changed even in that decade, right?
It really has. You know, when I first started in the early part of the last decade, I thought, you know, wealth management is going to be a really interesting field. It's going to be a really stable field. We're probably going to see slow growth over time. I came from telecom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the telecom crash wasn't unlike
the
dot-com crash.
Nothing's scary after telecom. You could be on the front.
Exactly. So it has been a really interesting period to go through. But, you know, honestly, fundamentally, what we're investing in hasn't changed. The idea that capitalism works hasn't changed. The idea that you're buying a share of a company that's supposed to grow and generate profits hasn't changed.
Right.
It's just we've been through a really tough period.
So now, but in historical sense, you know, it seems to, if you believe in America and the economy of America, then you got to be bullish, right?
Yeah, exactly. Long term, you've got to have a long term focus. We have folks that come to us from time to time and say, you know what, I've got $50,000. I need it for my child's education in 3 years. How should I invest it? And I'll tell them, don't invest it. If you're only gonna invest in the market for 3 years, you're better off not doing it if it's money you need. You've got to have a long term focus. If you've got shorter-term goals, be more conservative and don't try to outsmart the market or guess where it's going.
So do business people or executives in businesses, do they make for pretty good clients? They're making decent money. They like to be organized. That's probably a sweet spot for you, yeah?
It is, actually. We work with a number of tech executives that have been through a merger, an acquisition, what have you, and we also work with a number of physicians.
Is that's your sweet spot?
Those are the two sweet spots, exactly.
Right. Now, do you find that the mentality is different? Because those two groups seem, from a risk standpoint, seem a little...
I think physicians tend to want to be more black and white because that's the world that they live in. That's right. The world they operate in. Executives are perhaps a bit more understanding of the ups and the downs because they are more directly exposed to what's happening in the broader economy.
So when you're managing their expectations, you have to kind of work a little harder for the physicians?
You've got to communicate in ways that resonate with them.
Right.
And you've got to make sure, and it's something that we do with all of our clients, but you've got to make sure that you've documented, you know, what the risk is, what the expectation should be. So you've got something that you can go back to because we're going to continue to see ups and downs for some time to come.
Now, what's it like when you have like something happens, the market goes down 500 points or 700 points, something crazy. Like, does your phone just ring off?
He unplugs it.
Or you're like,
and goes fishing.
time to go to Costco for a few hours.
I make calls from under the desk. No, what generally happens? We only work with about 60 clients, and if there's a big event coming, when politicians were playing Russian roulette with the debt ceiling last year, for example, right. We got out in front of that, and we contacted all of our clients, and we said, look, here's our plan. If X happens, then this is what we're going to do. Exactly. So that tends to minimize the need to be reactive, and it's been really helpful. And I think our clients appreciate the fact that someone is out there looking over their portfolio and watching the markets on a daily basis. Even if we can't control it, they know that someone is paying a good deal of attention and has their best interest in mind.
So do you ever find yourself playing marriage counselor a little bit? Because I can imagine trying to deal with a couple, particularly if there's an unusual disparity between which one's the breadwinner, which in a lot of cases may very well be the female now. Is that's got to be an interesting dynamic.
You know, it comes up particularly in the discovery meeting because you'll ask a question like, what do you want to accomplish with your money? And you'll get two different disparate
answers. Same bed, different dreams.
And so you do have to work with that. We've actually got a relationship with a financial psychologist. So
financial psychologist. This is a new show category. We are going to have a financial psychology show.
Is there more than one in Atlanta?
There are actually two that have a psychology designation, and they're honestly they're counselors that focus on financial issues as well.
Yeah, because that's probably one of the big divorce triggers is financial stress.
I think it's number one.
Wow. So now, if I'm dealing with you, is it because I have a big pile of money and I want to give it to you, or are you open to like kind of somebody who's growing into their wealth?
We're open to folks that are growing in their wealth. We work with clients in two ways. We have clients that'll come to us and say, I'm still growing my portfolio. I don't quite meet the minimums, but I need a plan. I need someone to help me. And we'll work with them on an hourly basis. And we'll sit down, go through a series of meetings, establish their plan, give them a real specific to-do list, and they'll go on their way and implement that. And then they come back. They may have a child on the way. They may be looking at retirement. They'll come back and we'll update that. And we work with retainer clients as well. And those are the ones for whom we establish that plan. And then we work with them to implement that plan, coordinate with their outside experts.
One is you're doing the work and the other is kind of a do-it-yourself model?
Exactly.
Now, I'll tell you, in that discovery meeting, I bet you're looking for mindset, philosophy, someone you can work with. Even if their numbers aren't as high, you get somebody that's on the right path and has the right mindset. They might be a fantastic client for you 10 years from now, right?
That's exactly right. A good fit is...
That's more important, yeah.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
So how can our listeners reach out and get in touch with you and set up a discovery meeting, right?
Well, they can give us a call. Our phone number here in Atlanta is 404-816-6688. And they can find us online at Minerva PG. And we've actually got pretty good SEO, but I'm sure not as good as we would have.
Could always do better, right?
Exactly.
We'll get you some help post-show here.
Exactly. But that's MinervaPG.com.
Are you on social media, LinkedIn?
We do have a Facebook page, and I am on LinkedIn. If folks search for Micah Porter or Minerva Planning Group, we should come up there
as well.
And
do you accept Level Up?
they haven't called on us yet, but we'll think about that.
It's a niche market. They haven't really tapped it yet, right? Yeah.
Credit cards and financial planners.
And does the baby have a name yet? Are we waiting?
The baby does have a name. It's Ellison Ruth.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that arrival, too.
On Facebook, I'm sure. All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. Thanks for listening.